All right, welcome to Mysterious Dreams, your number one podcast for all the weird, bizarre, creepy, and strange movies offered by movie streaming services. I'm your host, the Mime Killer, or Nicholas Peterson, and my co-host,
Mary Peterson,
also known as
Geeky Senorita.
You can find us at our homepage, our home website, at thecriticsword.com. You also can find and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And you can also, if none of those things suit you, you can find us at podmatic.com. So the movie we're going to be discussing this week is Arena, a 2011 action movie starring Kellan Lutz, Samuel L. Jackson, and Daniel Day-Kim. Mary, what's your first thoughts?
This movie was terrible. This is why Kellan Lutz should not be allowed to be in actual now, movies.
Kellan Lutz is primarily famous for his Twilight movies. He might have been in movies before that, but
nobody ever, if he was in movies before that, I would love somebody to come and tell me what movies, since that's really how anybody knows him.
Well, that somebody probably would be IMDb, but I can't be bothered to look him up. What do you think? Kellan Lutz has a career in a...
He should probably just stick to things where he has very little lines and he can just be shirtless the entire time.
Huh. So the movie is about, Kellan Lutz plays a firefighter slash marine.
Slash paramedic.
Slash paramedic. Who
tragically lost his wife in a car accident.
He loses his wife and
unborn
his
child.
Yeah, his wife's pregnant. And he goes to drown his sorrows in Mexico. And after beating someone up in a bar, which may I say is probably the most regulated bar in Mexico. At one point, he falls asleep on the bar. And the bartender says no sleeping, which for Mexico, I felt was a little strict. I don't want to be racist, but I'm sure you can get away with a lot in a Mexican bar.
If you can literally get up and start touching strippers in Mexico, I highly doubt. That they care if you fall asleep on the bar.
If you can watch donkeys have relations with women in a bar, I don't know why they hassle them so much about falling asleep.
That's probably the least offensive thing you can do in a bar in Mexico.
Yeah, he's not causing trouble. He's just kind of like slumped over asking for tequila, and they're like bugging the poor guy.
Leave
the guy alone. So he beats someone up in the bathroom.
He beats the bouncer up. That's what it was.
I think because the chick in the bar was one of the recruiters for...
Yeah, but the bartender is the one that scheduled, the guy that signaled the guy to be like, hey, this guy's falling asleep in our bar. We don't allow that kind of stuff here.
I think it was a test, though.
It was never really said because the recruiter was there. She was just kind of watching everything. The bartender signaled the bouncer. Bouncer went in the bathroom. Next scene is the bouncer being flown through the door, and he's just kind of knocked out.
So Kellan Lutz beats up the bouncer, which is enough evidence that he is able to kick some butt. So he gets taken to Samuel L. Jackson's highly illegal fight club, which he runs somewhere in South America. And he records people fighting to the death, and then people bet on it online. And I guess he makes a lot of money that way.
I would say so.
I guess. I mean...
Although you only still really see two groups of people, maybe. Like this group of college kids and then these Asian businessmen.
Oh, want to know the funny thing about that? So I looked up this movie on Wikipedia. And the movie got a little bit of flack because it was supposed to be Japanese businessmen that are watching these pay-per-view death matches on their computers.
Which seems apropos for Japanese people.
Well, no. So here's the thing. Is the Japanese people are speaking Chinese. And so some Japanese people were getting really upset, like, are all Asians alike that you just threw some Chinese people and try to pass them off as Japanese?
Given how this movie is, I really don't think that should be the main concern.
Well, no,
everything about this movie is absolutely terrible.
Everything is terrible, but that is like a big... I mean, obviously we don't care, but neither of us are Asian.
This is true.
But it'd almost be like if someone tried to pass off, I don't know...
A Spaniard as a Mexican.
Yeah, someone would try to... Or even like if someone tried...
Brazilian
someone speak,
as a Mexican.
Yeah, someone's supposed to be Mexican, but they're speaking Portuguese specifically... With Asians, since the stereotype is, oh, you all look the same. It's offensive to them if you have someone
who's... I don't really... Yeah.
supposed to be Japanese, but they're speaking Chinese or something. But so they got a little bit of controversy for that.
That's what they got the controversy for.
Well, there's really kind of a... So, yeah, excuse me. As the movie goes on, there's a lot of drama. Daniel Dae Kim from Lost fame, he's in it.
Possibly the best one out of this entire bunch.
Samuel Jackson does the best he can do with the material, but there's not a lot for him to work with. People might not know, if you're just a fan of Samuel Jackson from Pulp Fiction and Avengers, he does a lot of movies a year. Like, go on to his IMDb, he does a lot of films.
It's almost like they're like, hey, Sam Jackson, I have this script, let's do this movie, and he doesn't even read it. He's just like, yeah, okay, pay me and I'm good.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't too far off from the truth. So Samuel Jackson's in there kind of hamming it up. Kevin Luntz is just kind of a bland slab of meat. And, he has a handler, a woman handler, who kind of looks like his wife, his dead wife.
If by kind of looks like his dead wife, you mean they have the same colored hair, then yes.
They kind of had similar shaped faces as well. They were both brunettes. They both had eyes.
So they were both humans with dark hair. That's human females with dark hair.
They both looked alike, but this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit.
His wife was literally that chick from Vampire Diaries, and this other chick is so completely in the opposite end of the spectrum.
Which kind of shows you when this movie was filmed, because I think the chick from Vampire Diaries would have been the main actress. She's a lot more popular now than she was just even a couple years ago.
This might have been just after, because she was on Degrassi before she did Vampire Diaries.
Oh, so, she was?
Yeah,
oh,
so was that it? Might be in between.
I don't watch those types of shows.
Oh, but you watch Vampire Diaries?
Vampire Diaries is a highly quality program. There's a lot of good decapitations. I have only seen the first season, but...
So based on the fact that there's a lot of good decapitations, this movie would kind of be on the same level as Vampire Diaries? Is that...
No, man. So Arena just... It's a sleepy, sleepy movie. We both had problems kind of staying awake for this one.
I would have almost rather watched GOG again.
Watch GOG a second time in a row. It's just the way it's filmed.
It's just cliche writing, cliche plots, bad acting. I don't find Kellan Lutz's character believable, or his portrayal of that character believable. Just everything is just completely unbelievable. And there's no chemistry between him and his wife. There's no chemistry between him and his handler.
Is Kellan Lutz gay?
I don't think so.
Not that I care too much. I haven't heard one way or another, but it would explain his lack of chemistry with his female co-stars.
I was going to say that. I do feel like he had more chemistry with the executioner guy than he did with his female co-stars.
Huh. Yeah, I've never bothered to even know of Kellan Lutz.
And I don't think I ever really hear about him like, oh, Kellan Lutz is dating this chick now, or he's engaged to this person.
Huh.
Or maybe he's just super low-key.
Keeping on the DL. Well, gay or not, you're right. Not a lot of chemistry there. That could just be bad acting. Sorry, Mr. Lutz, if you're listening. I don't mean to besmirch your sexuality.
I think you're a terrible actor. You should just stick to Twilight movies.
Well, there's no more Twilight. Maybe a Kellan Lutz Twilight movie. What was his character's name?
Emmett.
Maybe just an Emmett movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to do like a spinoff of this just to keep Kellan Lutz in the business.
Yeah. Man, everyone loves Kellan Lutz. So I came up...
I was talking to one of my friends today that we were doing this movie tonight. And I was like, oh yeah, man, Kellan Lutz is in this movie. And she literally looked at me with a blank stare like, what? And this is somebody who loves the Twilight movies. And she has no idea who he was.
Well, I don't want to cast aspersions on an entire group of people. But I would imagine beyond the two main stars, not a lot of hardcore Twilight fans probably know a lot about...
I don't think any hardcore Twilight fans could handle seeing Kellan Lutz the way he's portrayed in this.
He's pretty bloody throughout the entire thing.
Although he is shirtless, and that can't be discounted.
By the way, one of my favorite parts of this film is every time Kellan Lutz gets out of line, which happens quite a bit, he gets tasered. And he does this really cool kind of thing with his face to sell the taser. He kind of stiffens up and gets into this. He kind of gets in like a, oops, I just farted look on his face before collapsing. It happens at least... If you can have a drinking contest, or not a contest, a drinking game.
You can make a drinking game out of how many times Kellan Lutz gets this look on his face.
If Kellan Lutz gets tasered, I would estimate about 15, 16 times.
You could get pretty smashed. depending on what you're drinking with this game. Also, speaking of his facial expressions, there's one point where he's supposed to be glowering menacingly at somebody, and it literally just looked like he's constipated.
It was terrible. Lutz is, he does come off kind of a chump. Although I did come up with a good, my phrase. Samuel Jackson, he's big pimpin'. He has a lot of big TVs and big computer screens to run his business, but he also has two identical twin Asian girls to kiss on while they're making the thing. And so everyone always says when a girl is highly attracted to black guys, they always call it jungle fever. My phrase, when someone's really highly attracted to Asian girls, Saigon headache. I think that should be the new phrase. That
at least you didn't go with yellow fever. I seriously thought that's
why you racist. No, Saigon headache. So if you really, really have the hots for an Asian chick, you have Saigon headache.
I will say this: that whole Hannibal Lecter thing they had Kellan Lutz in towards the end of the movie.
So at one point, Kellan Lutz busts out of his cell, and he
is that what he did?
Yes, he must have fallen asleep.
I wasn't even paying attention.
He kicked open the door of his cell and he killed two guards before being tasered again. And he was brought before the court of Samuel L. Jackson in a full-on Hannibal Lecter style getup.
That was amazing.
You're saying he looks good with a mask on when you could see no facial expressions.
That's if I don't have to look at his face, I'm happy. Although I did like the little in the beginning where it shows the Asian businessman and he's gets interrupted by his boss and they ask about the TPS reports.
Oh yeah, they
do
like
that little office space kind of thing.
They do a clever office joke.
About the only clever thing in this entire movie, unfortunately.
So as Kellan Lutz is fighting and Daniel Day Kim is one of the first to go, he has to fight Daniel Day Kim and kills him. He makes a deal with Samuel L. Jackson that if he wins 10 fights, he will be allowed to go free. And the 10th fight is going to be against his main antagonist, some dude who just hates him for reasons that
he's like their executioner or some crazy shit.
He's like a guy who used to fight for Samuel L. Jackson. That was kind of the...
Wasn't he like the favorite? Because that one chick, she made a comment like, oh, you better watch out. You're not the favorite anymore.
So he's a retired fighter that now just works for Samuel L. Jackson.
Because really, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah, after you fight in the internet death games. So the last fight's going to be against him. And which led to a montage of fights. And I was really disappointed they didn't go with a cool Rocky-inspired montage, which might have been just a little too creative for this movie. I wanted a cool montage song. Instead, you just got just some generic new rock.
That montage almost kind of reminded me of Sin City in that it had that very comic book kind of feel to it.
It's a very stylized film. Yeah. A lot of digital blood. A lot of fast cuts, a lot of Zack Snyder inspired. Like, kind of the fighting is kind of like 300.
I never saw 300.
Oh, so. You never saw 300? Yeah. Well, 300, there's a lot of slow down, fast forward. So someone gets punched in the face and you see the ripples of their flesh.
Yikes.
You know, and that's what this movie's like.
I did like that it had, for me, almost a Spartacus feel to it, in that here's like this gladiator. And he has all these people bringing him women and food and all of this, even though technically he's there against his will. Well, no, kind of like Spartacus, they're all slaves anyway, right?
Yeah, the slaves are there against their will. Yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't be slaves.
There you go. It's basically like a terrible Spartacus.
So one of my favorite scenes of the film is he does get a choice of women at first. A bunch of Oh, no, no. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Every arena he fights in front of a green screen. That's not just the effects they used. In the movie, they have literal green screens that he fights in front of for these arenas. You probably were asleep for that. There's a scene in the movie where he walks into the arena, and you see the actual green screens around him, and then they kind of transform into the arena. So he gets a new costume based on whatever arena he's fighting in.
Like when he fought Daniel Day Kim, they were like in straight samurai.
In samurai outfits. Yeah. And during the montage, it was funny to watch him go from...
Wasn't there like a construction one that I saw during that montage?
Yeah, what I was going to say. You go from samurai to construction worker to DEA officer of all things, back to samurai. World War I officer. It was a lot of fun costumes. But the woman who's handling him, she starts to fall in love.
Of course she does.
And she even cuts her hair in the same style of his dead wife. And you think this would be met with scorn or Kellan Lutz?
Because, bear in mind, this was only like, what, a couple months after his wife died? I think it was like 2 months later he was in Mexico or something.
It's not, I never thought it was perfectly clear. It was.
It literally said two months later in Mexico.
Now, me and my wife did have a disagreement, and I think this is a guy-girl thing. I think...
Undoubtedly.
I think it's just that girls are from Mars, guys are from somewhere else kind of thing.
It's women are from Venus, men are from Mars.
Whatever. My point is if life is so unfair to you that your wife and unborn baby die in a car wreck and you're left all alone, he obviously doesn't even have a family because you don't even see anyone cares about him.
Maybe he's such an awful, uncaring sociopath that nobody wants to be around him.
Anyway, I think it's almost perfectly acceptable to then head on to Mexico and just nail Strange Tale and drink tequila. That seems therapeutic to me.
Therapeutic in that maybe you could catch an STD and die.
I doubt you will die, but it'll be therapeutic. I'm not saying you should do that your entire life, but I think you at least get a pass.
I don't think you get a pass.
You said it was this.
If I die and I find out that you're in Mexico, there's some kind of weird thing where I become a ghost, I will haunt the shit out of you.
What will you do to me?
If I saw you getting on and I was a ghost, I saw you getting on with some other chick a couple months after I was dead, I would straight like be like that demon in Paranormal Activity. I would just mess your biz up, son.
Nah, I'm going right to Mexico. I'm getting some of that.
Well, you don't think I could follow you to Mexico?
Well, no. Well, one, I don't believe in ghosts, so I'm not scared of your ghost. So, yeah, if you and my unborn baby die in a car wreck, I'm heading right to Mexico for strange tales, strange drinks, and strange experiments.
Gross.
It seems fine to me.
No, none at all. I'm of the you should at least wait a year.
Wait a year before any physical contact at all?
Yep.
Not even casual physical contact?
Nope.
A year of abstinence.
Yep.
So not only does Kellan Lutz have to be... Wait, have you looked at Kellan Lutz? He is a prime specimen. You know, with all that testosterone and stuff, he's going to be abstinent for a year?
If he really loved his wife.
Oh, if he... Yep. No, this is...
That was the other thing. Okay, that brings me to my next point. Literally, when she's trying to seduce him to kind of capture him, his handler, I don't remember what her name was. She finds a picture of his wife. It, like, falls out of his wallet or his shirt or whatever the hell he had.
This is in the very beginning of the movie, just to clarify.
His wife's picture falls out of his wherever he has it.
Pocket.
Whatever. She sees it, and she's like, she makes some kind of snide comment about how his wife's not there or whatever. And he's like, I'm not married. And she goes, she just kind of looks at him, and not that it matters anyway. He's like, yeah, my wife is dead. And she's like, oh, well, it's not like she'll miss you. And any normal person who had any kind of affection for their spouse, straight, get the F out of my face.
Nope.
Nope. Kellan Lutz, he just, like, attacks her with this almost animalistic or, like, lust-filled rage. I don't know.
When you got a bone dog, you got a bone dog.
Gosh.
I'm shaking my head furiously for the listeners of the podcast. Furiously. Listen, he's obviously half drunk. He probably didn't even really...
He could even get it up if he was that hammered. He'd already been to, like, two other bars.
Maybe Kellan Lutz can do that. I don't know.
Gosh.
You may know more about Kellan Lutz.
She did have a very boyish body. So that might be why he'd be able to get it up.
Damn, girl. Meow. I thought she was perfectly fine looking. I mean, she wasn't a drop-dead knockout, or she wasn't stacked with carnal toppings, but... I thought she was okay.
I didn't say she was bad looking. I just said she had a very boyish frame.
You're just
There's
jealous.
Nothing wrong
if
with
you're
that.
Jealous of her, that's fine. That
Why
she got
would I be jealous of her boyish frame?
That she got the touch Kellan Lutz. That's
yes,
okay
because
to admit.
That's really where this whole thing stems from. Not anyway, this absolute lack of actual human reactions.
Anyway, I'm sure it's normal. I'm sure plenty of people have reacted very, very strange ways after their spouses have passed away.
Jumping on everything that moves, I think.
Is the guy way. And it's normal. Moving on.
No, it's...
Moving on. You agree with me. Moving on.
No, I don't.
So back to the point I was making a couple minutes ago. So she cuts her hair later in the film, back to the middle of the movie, to to look like his wife, for him to fall in love with her. And it works. He takes one look at her with the new haircut and has sex with her again.
And also, to further my theory that Callum Lutz might actually be gay, or his character anyway.
What, his character?
What man actually notices a female's haircut?
If it was your dead wives or dead significant others, it could be noticeable.
Nope.
Oh, man. I think you're just being disagreeable today on this podcast. This is what happens when you podcast with your wife. You end up getting a lot of disagreements that make no sense.
Anyway, their lovemaking was very awkward as well.
Anyway.
Again, no chemistry whatsoever.
Yeah, it was strange. That is, I do definitely agree with you in that. That is odd.
It just seemed really, no pun intended, just really stiff and awkward.
Not, and this sounds weird to say, like, not very sensual. It's just all like, Kellan Lutz is flexing, and somehow that passes off as intimacy or sensuality.
Yeah, exactly. He
pops a bicep and goes like, check it out. He doesn't do that, but
he might as well do that. He did the equivalent of that.
So Kellan Lutz is doing very well in his fights. The guy he has to fight, the executioner, is getting nervous. And in one of the only geek out moments for me, woman, you are like, my wife is making the motion for me to hurry up, I think.
No, I'm nodding to agree with you. I do agree that this is probably one of the best moments in this movie.
You're very suspicious to me right now.
There's a news report of a serial, or what do they call it, a spree killer.
In South Africa.
That escapes. Turns out he just got kidnapped by this executioner guy to put up against Kellan Lutz because he's a spree killer. This is what he does for a living. He actually is choosing to do this kind of thing. And it's the actor that played Jason.
Yep, the actor who played Jason Voorhees in the newest Friday the 13th remake. And so I knew I recognized him from somewhere, but I was really excited.
I didn't know how you recognize him so quickly from anywhere.
I've seen, I not only do I watch I love the Friday the 13th movies, and I usually watch all the, especially the remake. As soon as they announced an actor for the remake, I looked him up to see what he looked like. He's a big guy.
Now, this remake has not come out yet, right?
No, the remake came out a couple years ago.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
I must not have been paying attention at all.
The guy from Ryan Hansen from Veronica Mars was shot in the throat with an arrow.
Not really ringing any bells.
You never saw it? It was actually...
Either I never saw it or I just didn't even register that I watched it.
You know, not for nothing, but as far as remakes go, it was one of the better remakes.
Really?
Well, they kind of go through the first one, Friday the 13th Part 1, with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
They go through that one in the opening credits. You see that story being retold, and his mom getting her head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Jason Voorhees goes, they don't do the supernatural aspect that got introduced in the later movies.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of have it so he's like living in these like holes in the ground, and he has traps. And
I must not have seen this at all.
It's kind of a weird take on Jason that he's like a survivalist. You know, he's not a zombie. He moves fast. In the remake. I thought it was a really interesting take. I think the rights to Jason and Freddy are both so tied up in weird legal technicalities that sequels are...
Because it's not the same... It's not like with the Chucky movies where one company owns the rights to the first one and then another company got the rights for the rest of them.
You know, that's how it is with Nightmare on Elm Street.
I think
the same company owns Friday... The 13th, but I could be wrong. In fact, it's just one of those franchises, I think, has a lot of weird legal things that prevents people from just making cheap sequel after cheap sequel. So anyway,
he fights Jason,
kills him, and then goes a one-on-one against the executioner, and we're just waiting for the movie to end at this point.
I'm dying. I have to admit, towards this part of the movie, I was already almost out of it. I was exhausted.
Wow.
Just from this movie, just from watching it. It was just so dull. You would think, given all the, you know, action and the killings, that it would be somewhat interesting in that, but they somehow even make those dull.
It certainly lacked a certain creative spark or an edge to it. That would have made it more interesting. But they do throw one last twist in that he's not
spoilers,
only...
Spoilers. If you are watching this movie.
It doesn't. This podcast will be discussing all aspects of the movies we discuss. He is a undercover cop, and it wasn't that he got killed. His family was intentionally killed by people who slammed his car and then went to kill him because he was an undercover something. They never go into it. An undercover something. An undercover agent, and his cover was blown. And his family was murdered by Koreans
right?
or something.
Isn't that what they said?
And so he volunteered to go undercover again to help expose this criminal death paper.
Which does not, to me, I don't know if it's because he's an undercover and he's trying to remember his cover story or what, but it seemed like they put way too much emphasis on his name. It's almost like, yeah, get it, his name is David Lord. Get it, that's his name, get it? And it's almost like, hey, guess that he's not really David Lord.
I'm not quite sure where they were going with that, but it all ends, he escapes, kills the executioner, the army shows up.
Breaks him out of this almost, like, psychotic rage when he's about to kill Sam Jackson.
Well, no, he, jumping ahead.
Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. This movie's dull to even talk about.
So he confronts Samuel L. Jackson. They get in a chase scene. And then he finally captures Samuel L. Jackson. And Samuel L. Jackson gives the classic, to show you how lazy this movie is, was written. Samuel L. Jackson even gives the, we're not so different, you and I.
We're the exact same kind of person.
If you think about it, Kellan Lutz, we're the exact same human being. It's like, I guess. I'm just trying to fight to survive. You run this stupid thing. I don't really... But, so, he gut stabs Samuel L. Jackson. Gut or groin stabs. It's unclear. He gets momentarily distracted, and Samuel Jackson crawled away, hopefully to make an arena too.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson crawled away way too fast.
When you mean gut stabs, sometimes people get extra speed.
The whole adrenaline burst?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Anyway, so he gets startled or whatever out of this psychotic rage where he's almost about to finish Sam Jackson by the army that comes busting in, mistaking him for somebody else.
Yep, that's what I just said.
And that's it.
That pretty much wraps up Arena. He just kind of gets transported away to live off the rest of his life, I suppose.
I wanted it to be towards one of the last scenes of the movie, it shows his female handler being let out in handcuffs, and he's like, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here anymore. Mm. And I'm like, man, I thought that they were at least going to be like, he totally played her.
We were thinking throughout the movie, even before it was revealed he was an undercover agent, that he was only pretending to fall in love with her because we felt it was too insane that he was falling in love with her handler. And now that you know the twist about him being a double agent, the Mexico stuff makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it?
No.
He was in Mexico on a job. Ha. So ha 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 ha.
Still, I feel like...
Nope.
No. Yeah, nope. No. None of this movie... This movie's terrible. The writing's cliche. The acting's terrible. There's no kind of chemistry in it. The best part of this movie, honestly, was listening to Daniel Day-Kim talk about how his wife got kidnapped. Like, that's that's the best part of this movie.
Daniel Day-Kim puts his heart and soul and all his acting talent to bear to a very awkwardly written monologue that he does his best with. So he definitely gets MVP of the entire thing. But that pretty much wraps up Arena. Hopefully we'll see Arena 2 come out shortly.
I would rather get run over by a garbage truck than watch this movie.
Well, speaking of things you'd rather do, the next movie we're going to be talking about is a movie I'm very, very excited about. It just hit
Netflix.
Yes,
I'm so excited to see this movie.
It's a movie called Shockma. If you're a fan of the IGN TV podcast, they always play the screaming Shockma at the end of their podcast. It's a killer monkey movie about a killer, I don't know what kind of monkey it is. Orangutan?
It looks like a baboon.
A baboon.
It looks like a baboon. And it's just, it's a whole government experimentation kind of thing. It turns out into this killer monkey. But it looks fantastic.
I've been wanting to watch this movie for a long time. It was very expensive on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't find it anywhere. So Shockma on Netflix, that will be the movie we'll be discussing next week. If you want to participate in that discussion or have a comment on any discussion, you can email me at mimekiller@gmail.com. This has been an episode of Mysterious Streams. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to rate us favorably on iTunes. We would appreciate it.
Agreed.
All right, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.